Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lunchtime in the loop, Landry Locker, John Lopez. Texans back on the practice field. Astros back at it again tonight against the Cubs. Those Cubs fans, they just...
Too many.
Dirty up downtown every time. You know, I live downtown. It's just a lot more just like, ugh. Like just gross out there right now. I'm ready for this series to conclude just so I don't have to look at any more of these bandwagon Cub fans. And of course, the drama with the Rockets. We'll get into that in about 15 minutes. But Texans back on the practice field. We're going to hear from B.O.B. tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's 25 hours away for those of you that are keeping score at home. In Jacksonville, though, the division champs 2 years ago, A.J. Boye, the former Houston Texan, says that it's a lot harder to make plays in practice now. This courtesy, Pat D. Stat actually retweeted it, but A.J. Boye met with the media, and he said he used to make a lot of plays in practice, but apparently because Nick Foles is now the quarterback and not Blake Bortles, that it's a lot more difficult.
Well, Bortles, I don't know if it was risk-taking or just bad judgment, put the ball in places that were risky. He made some plays. We know that. He also flopped. We know that. Nick Foles is just a smart player. I mean, you and I think you're not, like, totally anti-Nick Foles, but you're not as high on him as I am.
No fear of Nick Foles.
Yeah. I don't know if the fear factor is high or not, but I just think he's better and he's smart. And he puts the ball in the right spot, and he has something that he's got a little bit of it. He's got some of that.
I just don't think he's gonna be as good for them as he was in Philadelphia, obviously. But I just he took over at the right time. They won the Super Bowl, and now he's the Jags quarterback.
But he did it twice. He did it more than once.
Oh, I mean, he won a playoff game last year. I mean, they did rally a little bit, but I mean, it's not like he came over and just took the world by fire. I think the first Super Bowl run. I heard Sean Pendergast say this the other day on the Triple Threat. I couldn't have disagreed more. But he said that Carson Wentz wasn't valuable to the Eagles because when Nick Foles came in, it showed the opposite of value. Nick Foles still had home field advantage and the torch passed to him when he took over for Carson Wentz. So it's not like whole season. He got it done, but it's easier to get it done at home than it is on the road and everything. Like, it's not like Carson Wentz didn't at least have that thing heading in the right direction when Nick Foles took over. I think that's a little bit dramatic to say that Carson Wentz wasn't valuable. I'm interested to see, though, but I will say this, and I think we can agree on this regardless of how we feel about Nick Foles.
He's better than Bortles.
There it is. See, that's I love when we're on the same page. Yeah. Just like
he's
this.
He's definitely better than Bortles.
He's definitely better than Bortles, and then you look around at the chatter coming out of other camps in the AFC South, Landry Locker, John Lopez, as phase three, as they call it, continues. Where did that come from, by the way?
I don't know. I really don't know.
But as it continues, the Indianapolis Colts, it seems like there's a quiet confidence coming out of there. And we talk about it being a year-to-year league in the NFL. I'm really, really intrigued to see how the Colts handle this situation in which everybody's picking them now to win the AFC South. Everybody's high on them. People are talking about if Tyreek Hill doesn't return to the Chiefs, that this is going to be a situation where the Indianapolis Colts could take the torch from the New England Patriots. Nothing can shock you in this league from year to year where we could see the Colts take a step forward, but it wouldn't shock you to see them take a step back as well. I'm really intrigued by this. I think this is the most intriguing team in the division. It's going to be interesting to see if they build on what happened last season.
I think they're equipped to handle that kind of expectation. Just the demeanor of the Colts organization, you know, they take it from Frank Reich. Chris Beard's a little more behind the scenes in terms of
Chris Ballard. You're thinking Texas Tech Hoops.
Oh, Chris Ballard. Yeah. Chris Ballard. In terms of just like how the team responds to him. But I think Frank Reich just kind of he's equipped. By the way, he's played in the biggest games himself, to handle that kind of expectation. And then Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has seen every up and every down, you know, just about short of a Super Bowl that there is in the game. So I think they're equipped to handle expectations. I really do.
You know, the craziest thing about this whole thing, and we talk about the Texans schedule, and it's a top five most difficult schedule. The Colts have a tough schedule as well because for the most part, your opponents
pretty much the
are
same.
Relatively the same. But when you do have a first place schedule like the Texans do because they won the division last year, you get... It's basically just two extra opponents that make your schedule tougher than your other division. And in hindsight, and this is complete hindsight, and I don't know how the season would have ended, but given the fact that we know the Texans lost to the Colts in the playoffs and the Colts advanced, it almost would have been better if week four, when Frank Reich went for it in overtime on fourth down, the Texans got their first win of the year. In hindsight, it almost would have been better if the Colts would have either A, won that game, or mm-hmm. B, tied that game and let that game tie to where they would have been the team that won the division because of the tiebreaker, and the Colts, not the Texans, had the first place schedule.
No, I think absolutely that would have been the case. And also maybe even would they have had to face each other anyway, probably?
But the Colts, they would have had to go to Indianapolis instead of have it here.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is the thing, because if they would have tied, because that's what would have happened. If the Colts would have punted, it would have been a tie.
Yeah.
And then the Colts would have had the tiebreaker because they beat them the other time.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be a situation where the Colts, who we agree were the best team in the AFC South last year, they would have the first place schedule instead of the Texans. But we don't know what would have happened if the Texans hadn't picked up that win and they would have had to blow whatever it was, a 17-point lead, and come back. We don't know if they rally and make the playoffs or not.
We don't, and what would the Texans would have been reeling. You know, they may not have come back from that as well, so who knows. Andrew Luck is one of the favorites to win the MVP, too, already. Those odds were out last week, the NFL MVP odds. So, I mean, I think they're not really, you know, they're not shuddering at the prospect of being favorites.
And we're talking about Andrew Luck. We're talking about a guy that, you know, there were signs last year that maybe Andrew Luck was done, and he wasn't throwing a football at this point last season. He wasn't even throwing a football early in camp, or the Duke, as he liked to call it.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back. Comeback player of the year last year, he wins it. Of all the guys that we're sleeping on right now, because we were sleeping on a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
we were somewhat sleeping on J.J. Watt. We didn't think J.J. Watt was going to get the 16 sacks he got last season, and congratulations to J.J. Watt on the engagement. Of all the people, I want to give the OG a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the people that we're sleeping on right now,
in the NFL,
whether it's
or
in the division,
Texans?
Whether it's in the NFL, of all the individuals that we're sleeping on right now, who do you think a year from now, as we're previewing the 2020 Texans season, which, by the way, NFL season 100 days away, but of all those people, who do you think we're sleeping on the most that's going to make us look dumb?
In the division, I think there's a couple that immediately pop into mind. Now, I don't know if this team's going to be a contender, but I think he's going to be a monster, and that's Derrick Henry from the Titans.
I mean, he was a monster the last four or five games.
I mean, he was averaging 100.
So you think this is where Derrick Henry becomes the guy that a lot of people thought he would be coming out of Alabama?
150 yards a game.
If he runs like he did at the end of last season, then you're looking at a team that, I mean, nobody wants to see, especially with that defense. That's an underrated defense that they got too there with Mike Vrabel. But if Derrick Henry runs like he did at the beginning of the season last year, my goodness, that's just another team the Texans have to worry about in this division.
In terms of the Jaguars, I'm going to say Foles. I'm not saying that. Every time I give a guy a compliment like that, you think I think he's a top five quarterback. I'm not saying that by any stretch. I like his game. I think he's got a little it factor, and that's all they need in Jacksonville. They don't need Andrew Luck. You know, they need a guy like that. And if Fournette comes, you know, any semblance of a good running back, then they're going to be on to something there.
My guy with the Houston Texans, it's Deonte Foreman. I think Deonte Foreman is going to come in. I think he's going to have a massive season. I think Deonte Foreman, Lamar Miller made the Pro Bowl last year. He ran for 900 yards. I think Deonte Foreman is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher, and he's going to add an element and surprise some people. And on the defensive side, I'll stick with the Texans. I think this is the year in year three where we see Zach Cunningham,
mm-hmm.
who was okay last year. He had over 90 tackles. But I think Zach Cunningham, with the added mass that he's added and with the ability he has to run with Bernardrick McKinney and all these guys in front of him, I think Zach Cunningham is going to come in, and this is going to be the guy that we talk about a year from now taking that next step for the Houston Texans.
I can't disagree with any of those. Certainly Foreman is going to – I mean, you got to hope that Foreman's the one, because they don't have a lot else back there, unless one of these young running backs that they brought in is going to be for that. I'm not going to say he's going to be a star, but I think he's going to be an impact player. I think Johnny Dixon makes the squad, the guy that they're paying to bring into camp. He certainly fits a role. There's been some injuries in front of him. I think he's versatile enough. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be like an X factor, but I think he'll make the squad and be an impact player.
Talking about the Ohio State Buckeye, that's our predictions for the guys that we're sleeping on right now. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you having lunch. Houston Astros, best team in town, no debating that, but not a good week last week with all things considered. I know they took 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. I know they won the first game against the Cubs, won the first couple against the White Sox before losing the last two, but George Springer, Elidmus Diaz, and Max Stassi, they go to the injured list. You have Osuna struggling. He's given up 3 runs and 2 runs in his last 2 appearances in the 9th inning. Corbin Martin got lit up Alex Bregman, he's kind of cooled off. Josh Reddick, he's cooled off. Jose Altuve's still on the DL. Last week could have been the worst week for the Astros of the season, and this is a courtesy of @AstrosMemes and our guy Loophole Ty. As bad as things appear to be for the Astros, in the big scheme of things, proportionally speaking, it's still a good situation. You're still 6.5 up on the division. But this is the point. This is the point where when we talk about dividing the season into thirds and the OG guide to what to look to, this is kind of, I don't want to say a danger zone for the Astros, but this is a situation where things aren't necessarily going your way and you're going to have to grind out wins like you do over the course of a 162-game season.
They call it the dog days for a reason, but also we are just off of the first big weekend, the first big mark in time of the baseball season.
That's what are those markings?
Memorial
again,
Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. When you get to those points of the season, you get a good gauge of what your team is. All right? So Memorial Day is the first time you can see. There's enough games that have been played. Some people say add the All-Star break in there too. But the All-Star break and 4th of July is generally not that far apart from each other. But like once you get to Memorial Day, you got a good sample size of who you are. You know who's having a good year, who's not having a good year, and what the competition is doing. All right, so you look at Memorial Day. I feel really good about the Astros, but not as good as I did about a week or 10 days ago because I still feel they're going to need some starting pitching. I don't like that they're taxing Osuna as much as they are. He's blown some opportunities there for saves. The injuries have kind of been just nitpicky, but still they're there.
I mean, they just lost the MVP of the league the first quarter of the year, George Springer.
And the competition, I mean, as much as the division race is over, you're not worried about the division race. I mean,
you want the best record in the league. You want
and
home
that's
field advantage.
Not a lock. I mean, they're like a half game ahead of the Yankees and Twins. I mean, they're it's not a big lock. So this is a good gauge to say, okay, division we're obviously we have some players playing at a very high level. Verlander and Cole are outstanding.
Well, Cole's sometimes outstanding.
Well, but
he's
striking out fools like crazy. But yeah.
The ERA is over 4.
But if you're trying to get like home field advantage, you got some work to do.
And you know where you need to look. My eyes right now, my attention is in New York on those Yankees, because the Yankees, we're talking about the Astros beat up. The Yankees have been beat up all season. They're playing some damn good baseball, first place in the AL East. So it looks like it's going to come down to the Astros. The Astros are going to have their shot in October. Hopefully they improve that rotation. Hopefully Osuna finds things out and the lineup gets more and more healthy.
Actually,
you got to look out for those
Twins and the Yankees have a higher win percentage right now than the Astros. Right.
You got to tread water here before you get all the guys back. But it's going to be interesting, and we got our eyes out there in New York. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Lunchtime in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We broke the news for you last Friday about the turmoil in the Rockets front office. There's a three-way battle between Maury, Fertitta, and D'Antoni. We'll give you the latest next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.